An Introduction to the Devout Life by St. Francis de Sales, Book 3, Chapter 19. Of True Friendship. I would bid you love everyone with the love of charity, but have no friendship except with those who can interchange virtuous love with you. Since the more your friendship stands on the foundation of virtue, the more perfect will it be. If your bond of union be the pursuit of knowledge, it is a commendable friendship. Still more, if it be prudence, discretion, decision, and justice. But if your bond of intercourse be charity, devotion, and Christian perfection, then indeed will your friendship be precious. Precious, because it has its origin in God, because it is maintained in God, and because it will endure forever in Him. What a good thing it is to love on earth as we shall love in heaven, and to learn to cherish one another here as we shall do forever there. I am not now speaking of the mere love which charity excites toward all men, but of the spiritual friendship by which two or more souls participate in each other's devotion and spiritual affections, making them of one mind. Such may well say, "Behold, how good and joyful a thing it is to dwell together in unity." Yes, truly, for the precious balm of devotion distills from one soul to another in continual interchange. So we may indeed say that there the Lord ordained blessing and life forevermore. Surely, all other friendships are but empty shadows as compared to this, and their links are but as chains of glass compared to the great bond of holy devotion, which is all pure gold. Do not form any other friendships. I say form, because you must neither forsake nor despise those friendships to which nature and duty call you, amongst relations, connections, benefactors, and neighbors. I am only speaking of those which you select yourself. Some will tell you that it is better to have no special friendships or attachments, that they engross the heart, distract the mind, and foster jealousies. But such are mistaken. They have read in the works of saints and devout writers that individual attachments and excessive friendships are hurtful in the religious life, and they imagine it to be the same with the rest of the world. But that is not so. In a well-regulated convent, the general end of all is true devotion, and such individual communication is unnecessary, lest it lead to partiality. But it is needful for those who are in the world, and seek after virtue, to bind themselves together in a holy and sacred friendship, by means of which they encourage, stimulate, and forward each other in doing good. Just as those who journey in the plain do not need assistance one from another, but those who are on steep and slippery paths support each other for security's sake, so those who are professed religious do not need private friendships, but those who are in the world do need them to aid and succor one another in the many evils and dangers which they encounter. In the world, all do not have the like spirit, all do not seek the same end, and therefore it becomes necessary to turn aside and form congenial friendships, which of course involve partialities, but they are such as do no harm, and they cause no division except between the good and the bad, the sheep and the goats, and the bees and the drones. Do we not read in Holy Scripture that our blessed Lord entertained a special and tender friendship for St. John, St. Lazarus, St. Martha, and St. Mary Magdalene? As we know that St. Peter cherished St. Mark and St. Petronilla, as St. Paul, St. Timothy, and St. Thecla. St. Gregory Nazianzen repeatedly dwells upon his fervent friendship with the great St. Basil, of which he says, "It seemed as though we had but one soul animating two bodies." And if we may not believe those who affirm that all things are contained in all things, yet of us too, you may believe that we were both in each of us, and one in the other. We both had but one aim, to cultivate virtue, and to suit the deeds of our life to our future hopes, thus departing from this mortal earth even before death. St. Augustine also mentions that St. Ambrose had no common love for St. Monica, on account of her rare and excellent virtues, and that she, in return, cherished St. Ambrose as an angel of God. But it is too obvious a point to require further proof. St. Jerome, St. Augustine, St. Gregory, St. Bernard, and all the most eminent servants of God have entertained very special friendships without in any way injuring their perfection. St. Paul, when finding fault with the Gentiles, calls them men without natural affection, that is, incapable of friendship. And St. Thomas, like all good philosophers, acknowledges friendship to be a virtue. He speaks of individual friendship, for he says that it cannot be extended in perfection to many. Thus, perfection does not lie in rejecting all friendships, but in entertaining none that are not pure, holy, and sacred. End of chapter 19.